بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد الحمد لله through the grace and فضل إحسان of الله سبحانه وتعالى many of us that have been seated here from the time of Asr And there's various things that have been heard. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal. Recently, there was a youngster that was one who is concerned about his islah and about his spiritual condition and upliftment and so forth. So he complained that the things that need to be done, I am attempting to whatever extent, but still I don't see any difference. I'm not experiencing any difference, I'm not feeling the difference. So, in our case, maybe many of us also that sometimes attempt but we don't see the impact of it on ourselves. Now sometimes it happens that in reality there is a difference, there is a transformation, but we cannot feel it or we do not experience it. My Shaykh Yunus Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala gives this example that a child after being born every day there is some progress in the child and is growing, but the parents that are there and observing the child every moment, the mother that is taking care of the child, she is not observing, she is not seeing the growing of the child. What the child was yesterday, that is what it seems to her today. And those people, those that don't come into contact with the child every day, that have come to see the child, when the child has been born, the child is born, and then after a month or so, there's some get together, on some occasion meeting again, they say child has gone so big. So there is that growing, but sometimes it cannot be felt, or it cannot be seen and observed. On this one occasion, after returning from some trip, so just before landing, there was an example that came to mind. Rather, Allah Ta'ala put that to mind. And I wrote to my Hazrat Ramatullah Ali. I said, Hazrat, there's some thought that came to mind whilst traveling. And it made me appreciate your majlis, your majalis, company with you, even though I myself feel I haven't made any progress. And the example was that when we are flying in the air, we just feel suspended. If you look out, if there's no clouds, so you just feel you're in one place. But in reality, a person is moving at a speed of 900 to 1,000 kilometers an hour. And within a space, a period of 8 hours, 9 hours, 6 hours, is going through 6,000, 7,000 kilometers. And within that period, goes through that mileage, and then he lands at his place. But whilst he's suspended in the air, or whilst he's in the air, he feels he's suspended, he's not moving. And in reality, he's moving. So I mentioned to Hazrat Ramtullah Ali that this is the example of being in your presence, that although we feel that we haven't made any progress, and to actually tell sometimes our seniors and our elders, those that have got so much of love, affection, muhabbat, and who sacrifice everything for us, to tell them that I'm coming to your majlis and there's nothing happening, it's like a disrespect. So in reality, there is some transformation, but sometimes you need occasions to see the transformation. You need an occasion to see the transformation. Like our Hazrat Ramtullah Ali explained to us, we all claim that we've got love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we sit here, we'll all claim that we've got love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then you ask yourself, that do you truly have love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now when will that exhibit itself? Let there be an occasion that comes for where I myself or my family is doing something against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or my child is doing a child that is so loved by me. And especially if it is such a child that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me in an advanced age. That little child or that child 9-10 years old is doing something wrong, or he comes to age of 13-14 years and now namaz is farz on him and he's not performing his salah. Now in spite of having so much of muhabbat for him, in spite of appreciating this ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it came in an advanced age, all that there. But now when the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is broken, then see what happens, whether you are disturbed or not, whether you want to take some action or not. If yes, if it is hurting me, and if I take some action, then I know that the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in my heart is more than my love for this child. So that is when it will be exhibited. So it is not there, it's not that we will experience it all the time, there will be occasions for that. So however, I wrote this to Hazrat Ramtullah Ali and I sent it to him. Hazrat Ramtullah Ali replied that this is the fazl and karam and grace of Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala through His infinite mercy just put this to heart. So Hazrat Ramtullah Ali replied and he said that he travelled to England to be in the company of his Shaykh Hazrat Wala Ramtullah Ali. And Hazrat Ramtullah Ali mentioned that the same example came to his mind and he mentioned that to Hazrat Wala Ramtullah Ali. So there are some times that we don't feel this progress, but we are making this progress. So don't be ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Show our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all His ni'mats and bounties and favors. However, just before Maghrib, we discussed a little bit about performing our complete salah. Now for those of us that we're not in the habit and may have performed our complete salah now, is an attempt that has been made towards the closeness of Allah Ta'ala, towards the qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we, alhamdulillah, we all believe in the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, believe in the Qur'an al-Majeed, we believe in the promises of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But let it come to the level of yaqeen, conviction, that what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned is nothing but true. It will certainly happen. Now, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's glad tidings for that person who comes one fist length towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who comes one fist length towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmat and mercy comes one arm's length towards him. Now, if one step has been taken towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should be convinced that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmat is coming much faster to me. And it's going to take me. This is the conviction that we should have. Together with that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that that person who in the time of corruption and fitna, he brings to life one sunnat of mine, man ahya sunnati inda fasadi ummati. At the time of fasad and corruption, a person revives one sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then what is the reward for such a person? فَلَهُ أَجْرُ مِئَةِ شَهِيدٍ. then he gets the thawab and the reward of 100 martyrs. Now, one action, one amal, with the intention of getting the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making amal on the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there should be this conviction that inshallah through the fadl, grace and mercy of the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will most certainly give us these rewards. Going a little beyond that, Mawlana Ilyas Sahib, Dhan Barakatuh, spoke on steadfastness. This is one step if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the tawfiq to take. Then let there be steadfastness in this. And especially when it comes to our ibadat and our salah. This is something that we are doing 5 times a day. But let me compare my salah to the salah which I was reading 5 years ago. The salah which I was reading 10 years ago. The salah when I was reading when salah just became farz on me. And unfortunately, sometimes the salah that I performed even before salah became farz on me, what difference is there between the two? Has there been any progress in the quality of my salah? Or is my salah the same as it was at that time? Or sometimes, unfortunately, it has deteriorated, it's gone worse. So what is the condition of my salah? So to bring about that little khushu and khudu in salah, now the complaint that was there, that sometimes we are doing these a'mal or we are engaging in these type of ashkhal and nazkar and we are not seeing the benefit and the reward that are supposed to be there. We are not seeing the benefit of this. Then what is the reason? So when this person asks, so one is this, that sometimes we don't observe these things. And on the other hand, let us ask ourselves this question, that what the impact of salah supposed to have been, what are the results of salah? Or when a person has salah in his life, then what should he be doing for it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Majid, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. This is supposed to be salah, that it has got this ability in it to protect and prevent a person from evils. But now, is our salah preventing us from evil? If it is not, then no one can say that there's something wrong with the salah itself. There's something wrong, yes, but with the quality of our salah. Because that salah is not of the type that it has got that strength to keep you away from this evil, therefore we are still engaging in evil. Therefore we are still engaging in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So an attempt has to be made to improve our salah. Now just one or two things as far as our salah is concerned. Generally we will find that we hear of khushu and khudu in salah to bring about devotion in salah. Now how will one get devotion in salah? There's various ways. But the one way sometimes our mashayikh, our seniors tell us, or when we go into jamaat that we hear, that read longer salah, rak'at of salah, so that will bring in the required devotion in salah, the concentration in salah, the long salah, long rak'at, etc. However, for all of us, sometimes it is a bit difficult to perform long rak'at of salah. But let's make a start somewhere at least. Just as we have made some effort to complete our salah and make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us steadfastness on that. One step beyond that, generally in our salah we will find that we read the shorter surahs, not a problem. Let us read, once there was one jamaat that came, many years ago, it was an England jamaat. So, there was a question of after the Maghrib salah, then to make the elan and to be ready for the, to give the bayan and so forth. So as far as the salah is concerned, the sunnats and that, so what was mentioned to the brothers, that the fact that a salah is short doesn't mean that the salah should be void of khushu and khudu. The fact that a salah is short and concise doesn't mean that the salah will be void of khushu and khudu. Then the question that was posed, that can it be said that any salah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was without khushu and khudu? Isn't any salah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? In spite of that, we will observe that in the sunnats of Maghrib, in the sunnats of Fajr, what are the sunnat, what is the sunnat qira'ah? In the sunnats of Fajr, the sunnats of Maghrib. The sunnats of Fajr, the other thing, other surahs or other ayat of the Quran and Majid that are mentioned. But generally we will find that the surahs that are mentioned is Suratul Kafirun and Suratul Ikhlas. Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun and qul huwa Allah. And how long are these surahs? And how long does it take to read Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun and qul huwa Allah? Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun and qul huwa Allah will not take very long to read. So that is a sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a short salah. So even a short salah can be with khushu and khudu. So that is the effort that we need to make. So even if we have a short salah, the one effort that we can make in order to get some degree of khushu in salah, when we go into ruku, when we go into ruku, generally we read the tasbihat of ruku and sajda, subhana rabbiyal azim and subhana rabbiyal ala. But if I ask myself this question, that how do I read that tasbihat? So sometimes we will find that in half a breath we'll be able to read the three subhana rabbiyal azim. Doesn't even take a full breath to read it. Subhana rabbiyal azim, subhana rabbiyal azim, subhana rabbiyal azim, sami'a Allahu liman hamidah. We've read three times subhana rabbiyal azim. The same applies to sajda. We're reading subhana rabbiyal ala, but the three in one breath, and before we know it, we already finished the three times. And most of us, we restrict ourselves to the three times. So let's make a little bit of effort. Let's not say psychologically, if we feel that to read five times is going to be too much, and it's going to be taking too long. Okay, explain to ourselves, don't read five times. Read three times. Read the same three times that you are reading. But now make an effort to read the same three times Subhana Rabbi al-Azim and Subhana Rabbi al-Ala, each one in a different breath. Read each one in a different breath. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. You're still reading it three times. But what we have did, we have just stretched it a little. You're not reading five times. And at that time, you will find there will be some degree of concentration, and the mind can go towards this. You can take the mind because you've got that little time. This, as our akabirin explained to us, our mashayikh explained to us, that when a person is making, when he's in the qiyam position, then think and contemplate that every part of my body is in qiyam before my creator. And now when I'm going into ruku, when I'm reading the tasbihat so fast, where is there going to be time to contemplate and think that every part of my body, every limb of my body is in ruku and prostration before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because it is so fast. Now when I'm reading this a little slow, and even that to only three times, but it is giving me the opportunity to contemplate and to think that I'm prostrating before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every hair of mine is in ruku before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then from there, coming into the qawma position and reciting the dua de Allahumma rabbana walakal hamd, also slowly. Thereafter going into sajda, and whilst in sajda, the same three subhana rabbiyal ala, reading it slowly. One subhana rabbiyal ala in one breath, and then read the next one in the next breath, and then the third one in the third breath, and then see the difference that we will find in our ruku and in our sajda. Because when one is in sajda, that is the time the person is the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As some say, it is as if a person's head is in the lap of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he is in sajda. That is the closeness that he experiences when he is in sajda. So an attempt to improve our salah. What my salah was yesterday, let there be an improvement in the quality of salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, the hidayat and the guidance to improve our salah, to bring devotion and concentration in our salah, and also to whatever extent Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives tawfiq to read our nawafil, for instance after Maghrib, to read another two rakats extra with the intention of awabin. Then if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the tawfiq to recite, to perform the tahajjud salah, if one cannot get up in the morning and read it, then even after the Isha Salah before the Witr, before the Witr, the 2 rakats or 4 rakats of Tahajjud Salah, we read, and thereafter read your Witr and the 2 rakats and go to sleep. The person will at least get his Tahajjud Salah. And the ideal is to read the Tahajjud Salah the early part of the morning. So whatever tawfiq Allah Ta'ala gives, try and read these few extra rakats of Salah. Inshallah, through this, a person will gain the closeness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, the qurb of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal on this. Make this good intention and niyat, and then ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to make it a reality for us. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, the hidayat and the guidance. We're discussing after Asr, Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi's, the methods of one making his islah. We discussed 2 after Asr, and they were, one was that the method that we normally know, and that is keeping in contact and ta'alluq with our mashayikh, etc. The second method that was quoted was that a person uses his friends or his associates to make his islah. That is the second. Then there's a third method as well. Now sometimes we must understand that these Ahlullah, these Mashayikh, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala inspires them. And also we will observe that for those that have traveled with them, for those that have stayed with them, from little things they take example. And they make use of those things. My Shaykh Maulana Yunus Sahab Rahimahullah Ta'ala once mentioned to us in one informal majlis that once there was a gathering of wise people. It was a gathering of wise people. And the topic was that each one should mention how he became wise. Each one should share his experience as to how he became wise. So people started, the wise people that were seated there, and each one started giving his story. Someone said something, someone said something, how he became wise. Eventually came this person here, who was seated in one corner. He was quiet and said, okay, now it's your turn. How did you become wise? He said, no, I can't tell you anything much. He said, no, we all had our turn. You also have to say something. So he said that I became wise by observing the foolish. I became wise by observing the foolish. Meaning that when I observed a person doing something after which people commented that you're a fool, or they mocked and jeered at him, then I realized that that action is foolish. And I abstained from that action. And like that I kept on continuing until such time that I became wise, knowing that these are the things I need to leave out from my life, that are foolish things due to which a person becomes a fool or is treated as a fool. So a wise person always learns from everything around him. That is why we'll observe that even in our mashayikh. Little example, Hazrat Munawwar al-Aqsa rahmatullah alayh, there's that example of the window being left open and the place not cool, the vehicle not cooling down. And when asked, Hazrat Hakim sahab rahmatullah alayh was seated and his side, the window was open, due to which the hot air was coming in, so the air conditioner, although being on, the vehicle wasn't cooling. So then once that window was closed, it became cool after a little while. So as Wala Ramtullah Ali mentioned, and from this he took a lesson and he explained, he said, this is exactly our condition, that we want the coolness of our ibadat and everything to affect us. But because we leave all these windows open of haram sometimes, and our haram is coming in through our eyes and through our ears, therefore we do not feel the coolness of the ibadah that we do, the coolness of the dhikr that we engage in. Mashallah, Maulana Yunus Sahab rahimahullah ta'ala, when he was under some treatment in Johannesburg, so on one occasion, in the early part of the morning, it was a winter's morning, and he was being taken from one place to another. And the person that was driving suddenly told Hazrat that from the place where they were to where they were at that point, the little that they had traveled, suddenly the temperature fell much more. I don't know how many degrees it fell. And then as they went further, it fell even further. It became extremely cold. So that was just something, an observation he mentioned to Hazrat. So Hazrat said, did you learn something? Did you understand something? I didn't understand anything. He said, okay, when we left there, it was at a certain temperature. When we came at this place, when the temperature went even low, went so many degrees lower, then you observed that. He said, did you come out and start fighting with the weather? He said, no, I just accepted it. And when you went beyond that, when the temperature fell even more, what happened? He said, no, I just accepted it. He said, similarly, when we are living with people, whether it's our spouses or whomsoever we have around us, the temperatures always don't stay the same. Temperatures always don't stay the same. Sometimes the temperature comes low, sometimes someone's temperature is gone high, sometimes the temperature is... Whatever the condition of the temperaments are, don't come out and fight. Go with that. Learn to accept and tolerate. That is our Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh. However, these things, our Akabir, they observe these things and they take lesson from it. So similarly, as Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayh mentions the third method of making one's islah. And he says that the third method of making one's islah is by observing the remarks of an enemy. By observing the remarks of an enemy. I am doing something, or there's an enemy and he is pointing out my mistakes, not because he is wanting good, or because he wants to do some good to me, or he's desirous of good for me, but he wants to ridicule me. But together with that, he is doing it in a way by finding fault in me. Now that finding fault of his, Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayh says, that make use of that for your islah. In other words, when the person is passing those remarks and comments, or is mentioning your faults, then contemplate on those faults that in reality, are those in me or not? If they are, then I must rectify those faults. Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayh mentioned that this is the third method. And goes on further to say that sometimes a person is blessed with the company of his shaykh, and if he is not blessed with that, then sometimes the person is at least blessed with the company of his friends. And when the person is not in company of his friends, then sometimes he has his enemies around him. And sometimes it happens said that neither is the person close to his shaykh, nor with his friend, nor near an enemy. He's totally in a far off place and he's alone. Then what does he do? How does he make his islah at that time? So even for that, Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayh has mentioned that for those type of instances, a person should make muraqabah. A person should make muraqabah, should think. That is why my Shaykh Maulana Yunus Rahmatullah Alayh mentioned that he had given one muraqabah and many people benefited from that. And the muraqabah was a very short muraqabah, a very short and concise muraqabah, but extremely effective. And a lot of people benefited from this muraqabah of Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh, to the extent that Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh mentioned, some of them may have been close to committing some guna and sin and disobedience of Allah Ta'ala, but just making muraqabah of this short, maybe one or two words, Allah Ta'ala gave them the ability, the tawfiq, the courage to abstain from that guna. And that we've discussed it here also a few times, and that is Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh used the words, what if? What if? Meaning that I'm engaging in this guna, or I'm about engaging in this guna, and what if at that time Malakul Maut has to visit me? Will I like my life and my soul to be taken out when I'm engaged in this type of a disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially if it is a shameful act and action? Then would I like my life to be taken out where I would become a means of disgrace for myself, for my parents, for my family, for my asatida, and on the day of Qiyamah for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Am I prepared for that? Now this muraqabah. But Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi speaks of muraqabah. But wherever we are, sometimes a person is totally alone. Now thoughts that are troubling the person, and whatever else, so get into muraqabah. Think. Start contemplating. And sometimes when the urge comes very strongly, sometimes the urge comes very strongly to commit some guna, then we've got to have something in place. Recently, a young person wrote in some is a professional person, however, and he wrote with regards some guna that he was quite involved in and was finding it difficult to abstain from that guna. So he wrote and said, listen, I don't know what to do at night, I just get troubled and this and that. So at that very moment, Allah Ta'ala put something into mind. There was a list of things that were mentioned to him to do. And one of them was this. I said, keep your cell phone with you. That is, now you are speaking to a person who is concerned about his Islam. And not just by the way. He's really serious about his Islam, and the medication prescription that he's been given will be used. So he was told, okay, if this is the problem, then at the late part of night, whenever you are troubled, and if you feel that you are just going to be, you're tempted to get involved in the guna, and you cannot save yourself from that, and you feel you're definitely going to get involved in the guna, then at that time, have one sincere and close friend, whoever it is. Whoever it is, even if it is your shaykh, and if you can communicate with him on that level. I said, you must be able to pick up the phone at that early part of the morning or late part of the night and tell him that this is what is troubling me and this is the guna I want to engage in. And then see what happens. There was once a friend that mentioned that he was abusive with his tongue towards his family. And I said that, you know, I just cannot control myself in this. So I told him, the reply that was given was, no problem. If that is how, that is what the condition is, and you cannot control yourself, by all means, whatever abusive language you want to use against your family, by all means use it. But do me a favor. When you find that you are in that condition and you are about uttering those words, take your phone, dial my number, keep it by, and then utter whatever you want to. Keep the phone there. Whatever you want to speak after that, you speak. But let that phone be. So alhamdulillah, that was the Islah, and we didn't get the complaints after that. So however, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi mentions that this is the fourth way of making one's Islah, and that is of making muraqabah, of thinking, contemplating, and especially when a person is away from his shaykh or from a friend, or not even close to an enemy that can show him his fault, even with the intention of ridiculing him or whatever. Then the fourth way is to make muraqabah. So these are the ways that we can use, the methods that we can use in order to make our islah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, the hidayat and the guidance. Our mashayikh have shown us so many things. It is all there for us to make use of these prescriptions that have been shown and correct ourselves, improve ourselves, get the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the closeness of Allah Ta'ala, the ishq of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, practicing upon the sunnahs of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, bring ourselves closer and closer to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala give us a tawfiq and hidayat and guidance. Inshallah, we'll just read some ash'ar of our Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh, just to instill in ourselves the muhabbat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and also to appreciate the sacrifices of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. My Shaykh Mawlana Yunus Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala used to read these ash'ar with a lot of, one is that he himself was an ashiq of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and his Shaykh was an ashiq of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the kalam is the kalam of an ashiq, and then read by an ashiq, so you can imagine what impact it would have had on those that were listeners, and some of whom were ashiqs themselves. So, of course, we know we're near that, but however, we will recite this kalam, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the closeness and the qurb of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gives us the appreciation of the sacrifices of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and gives us the tawfiq, the hidayat and guidance to implement in our lives the akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mu'amalat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Abu Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to mention to those that go for ziyarat and that are blessed with going for umrah and so forth, that what is the maal of Madina Tayyibah that you bring back. Now, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to mention the maal of Madina Tayyibah is not that which we put in our bags. The maal of Madina Tayyibah is that which we bring in our hearts, the akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ibadat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mu'asharat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make amal on these things. Ya subhe Madina, ya shame Madina, ya subhe Madina, ya shame Madina, مبارك تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ. یہ صبح مدینہ, یہ شام مدینہ, مبارک تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ. حضرت عبداللہ علیہ used to mention especially to those that are blessed with ziyarat of these Mubarak places, going to these Mubarak places, that on every step be conscious of the place where you are, whose feet Mubarak fell on these places, the sanctity of these places. And unfortunately, because of the type of fitnas that we find even, that have infiltrated even these places, if a person is not strong, if a person doesn't have the willpower, then to abstain from gunas, they also becomes difficult for a person. On one occasion, a person came to Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali and mentioned to him that, Hazrat, I've seen a dream, and if you could interpret the dream for me. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali gave him permission to go ahead. And after the person narrated his dream to Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, so Rahmatullah Ali took a sigh and then told him that if I have to give you the interpretation of your dream, would you feel offended? He said, how can I feel offended, because I am the one that I'm asking you for an interpretation to my dream. Rahmatullah Ali mentioned to him, if this is in reality what you have dreamt, then the interpretation of that is that you have committed zina in Madina Tayyibah. The person, of course, with a lot of remorse, he accepted before Hazrat Abdullah Ali that was what the reality is. So, being blessed with the ziyarat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and being given the opportunity to go there, no doubt it's a great opportunity and it's a great ni'mat of Allah ta'ala, but we need to appreciate this ni'mat of Allah ta'ala. Therefore, some of our kabirin, they, of course, everyone was not the same, the halat, the condition, the temperaments differed. Some, the temperament was this, that it is better that I go to the Haramain Sharifain for a short period of time with my mind, heart and soul, everything present there, rather than being there for an extended period and then that awe of the place, the azmat of the place, the muhabbat of the place leaves my heart. So I might rather be there for a shorter period of time and then come away. So Mubarak tujhe ye qiyam e Madina. If you are in Madina Tayyibah, this place, Mubarak to you, congratulations to you, but provided use your time correctly. Ye subh e Madina, ye sham e Madina, mubarak tujhe ye qiyam e Madina. Bala jaane kya ja mumina e alam, tera kaif e khush kharam e Madina. مدینہ کی گلیوں میں ہر ایک قدم پر ہو مد نظر
احترام مدینہ، مدینہ کی گلیوں میں ہر ایک قدم پر ہو مد نظر احترام مدینہ.
Remember in the streets, in the gullies of Medina Tayyiba, on every step you take, keep before you the ihtiram and the azmat and the respect of Medina Tayyiba. Before we find, of course, once again, this is a temperament, it's not any masala, but some haven't walked with shoes or sandals in Medina Tayyiba just because of the ihtiram of Medina Tayyiba, of the sin of Medina Tayyiba.
مدینہ کی گلیوں میں ہر ایک قدم پر ہو مد نظر احترام مدینہ، مدینہ 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 مدینہ، برا لطف دیتا ہے نام مدینہ.
یا اولیاء اللہ، just the name Medina Tayyiba, just listening to the name Medina Tayyiba brings tears to their eyes. It gives them a type of happiness in the heart. Bara lutf deta hai naam-e Medina. Just listening to the name of the city of Medina Tayyiba where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam resides, that brings happiness to their hearts.
Medina, 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 مدینہ مدینہ، برا لطف دیتا ہے نام مدینہ. نگاہوں میں سلطانیت ہیچ ہوگی جو پائے گا دل میں پیام مدینہ، جو پائے گا دل میں پیام مدینہ.
The kingdoms of the world, the wealth, the silver and the gold of the world, and everything else of the world will mean absolutely nothing. Will mean absolutely nothing to a person جو پائے گا دل میں پیام مدینہ. If the پیام مدینہ, if the message of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the person has got in his heart, he's got the azmat of the message of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his heart, then all these riches and everything else of the world will mean absolutely nothing to them. That is why my Shaykh Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to mention that fair enough, if the person has got the world, if the person has got the world, it will be in his hands. But in his heart he'll have the ishq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Nigaahon mein sultaniyat hech hogi jo paayega dil mein payam-e-madina.
Now that person who's got the payam-e-madina in his heart, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's message, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's akhlaq, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's character and everything else, will he be fighting over the wealth of this world? Will he be fighting over the issues of this world? If he didn't have it, he didn't get it, it's not a problem. But however, as far as akhlaq is concerned, muhabbat is concerned, relationship is concerned, he will not sacrifice that for the things of this world.
Nigaahon mein sultaniyat hech hogi jo paayega dil mein پیام مدینہ.
حضرت والا رحمت اللہ علیہ further then explains that today we all in search of sukoon, peace, tranquility, and we are trying to achieve that in the wealth of this world, that the more wealth of the world I have, the more peace I will get. But unfortunately the reality is this: the more that we get of this world, the more restless we become. The more we get of this world, the more restless we become. We're looking for peace and sukoon in different things and at different places. Like that mithal and that example our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali gave, Maulana Rumi Rahmatullah Ali, that a person was once at night going past and he found a lamp post, and there in the brightness or in the light of that lamp, an elderly person was looking for something, searching for something. A young person was going by, he saw this elderly person and he asked him that, "Uncle, what are you looking for?" He said, "I've dropped a coin and I'm looking for it." So he said, okay, let me help you search for it. They began searching, and after a little while it wasn't found. So he asked the elderly person, uncle, but where did you lose the coin? Which direction, right, left? If you could tell me, then maybe we could look in that direction. So he says, no, I've lost it in the house, in my room, in the house. So, uncle, if you've lost it in the house, why are you looking here for it? He said, no, I'm looking here because there is light here, so I'll find it. So Hazrat Ahmadullah Ali, after mentioning, he said, this is exactly our situation, our condition. That lost gems that we had, where are they lost and where are we looking for them? So here Hazrat Wala Rahmatullah Ali mentions,
Sukune jaha tum kaha dhoondte ho, Sukune jaha tum kaha dhoondte ho, Sukune jaha hai nizam-e-madina, Sukune jaha hai nizam-e-madina.
Where are you looking for this peace, this tranquility? If you want to find it, where is it? Sukune jaha hai nizam-e-madina, in the system of Medina, in the system of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is where you will find the sukoon and this itminan.
Ho azad akhtar ghame do jahan se, ho azad akhtar ghame do jahan se.
We've got worries and all this gham as far as this world is concerned and the akhirat. And Wala Rahmatullah Ali says that if you want to be freed of this gham of this dunya as well as the akhirah,
ho azad akhtar ghame do jahan se,
then what is the prescription? Very simple. Very simple. If you want to get rid ourselves of this gham as far as the world is concerned, of course the fikr and the concern for the akhirah, what will happen?
Ho azad akhtar ghame do jahan se, jo ho jaye dil se ghulam-e-madina, jo ho jaye dil se ghulam-e-madina.
Who becomes a true slave of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, practicing every sunnat and implementing every sunnat and the way and the tariqah shown to us by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he'll be freeing himself of ghame do jahan, gham as far as this world is concerned, the fikr, the worries of this world, and all the trials of this world, and of course the worries and the fikr and the concern of the akhirah. He will be freed of all these worries.
Ho azad akhtar ghame do jahan se, jo ho jaye dil se ghulam-e-madina.
Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Inshallah, we will make a short dua, and after we'll have some time to rest. Inshallah, we'll make an attempt to get up a little early in the morning. Sehri time finishes at about 5:10. So we'll get up at about 4:30, a little before that, whatever Allah Ta'ala gives tawfiq, to read a few rakat of salat tahajjud, and thereafter engage in dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to make our complete islah, to Allah Ta'ala to assist us in this route. May Allah Ta'ala draw us towards Him with His power of jazb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the qurb of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ishq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This time that we have sacrificed, let us make it beneficial. May Allah, the time for talking, we'll have enough after this as well at our homes, and at other times we can continue finding time for talking. Recently there was a friend that told me this, of some new sickness that I haven't heard of before. And he told me that, you know, they said, in our family we've got a sickness. I said, you know, and said, I'm suffering from that. I asked him, what is it? He said, he called it verbal diarrhea. He said, we've got a sickness of verbal diarrhea. So initially I didn't understand what he meant by verbal diarrhea. Thereafter I understood that means excessive talking. So Let us not become victims of this verbal diarrhea. Especially if Allah Ta'ala has given us the tawfiq to spend some time in this type of an environment, and as we mentioned that it is friends, so let us encourage one another to engage in zikrullah, engage in some muraqabah, also make some good intentions whilst we are here with regards to our ibadat or whichever part of our life, to get in conformity with the teachings and the tariqah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Make some dua, make some attempt, make some muraqabah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, the hidayat and guidance. Inshallah, after Fajr there will be some zikrullah and then dua inshallah. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa naqibatu lil muttaqeen wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wa sayyidil mursaleen sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'een. يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين ويا راحم المساكين ويا ذا القوة المتين ويا أرحم الراحمين يا كريم الله يا رحيم الله most loving, caring, compassionate Allah, most tolerant Allah, oh most beautiful Allah, oh my كريم Allah, through your infinite grace and mercy you give the tawfiq to assemble. Oh my كريم Allah, through your infinite grace and mercy accept this gathering of ours. Oh Allah, make it a means of our complete islah. Oh my Kareem Allah, make it a means to get your muhabbat, your qurb and your ma'rifat. Oh my Kareem Allah, make it a means to get the ishq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to make amal on every command of yours. Oh my Kareem Allah, give us the ability to abstain from everything that you have ordered haram. Oh my Kareem Allah, through your infinite grace and mercy, give us the ability to implement every sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lives. Oh my Kareem Allah, through your infinite grace and mercy, give us the tawfiq to engage in zikrullah excessively. Keep us away from the attacks of nafs and shaitan. Oh my Kareem Allah, nafs and shaitan have overpowered us. You, through your infinite grace and mercy, take us out of all this mess. Ya Kareem Allah, nafs o shaitan, dono ne milkar. ہائے کیا ہے مجھ کو تباہ اے میرے مولا میری مدد کر چاہتا ہوں میں تیری پناہ. Oh my Kareem Allah, these friends have gathered. Each one has his own desires, good desires, my Kareem Allah. Through your infinite grace and mercy, fulfill the good desires of each and everyone. You are aware of the good desires, the wishes, the ambitions of each and everyone. Through your infinite grace and mercy, bless each and everyone, oh my Kareem Allah. Ya Allah, our families that we have left behind, make decision of hidayat for them as well. Make decision of hidayat for us. Make decision of hidayat for the entire ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my Kareem Allah, our kabirin that has left us and gone from this world. Bless them with the highest of ranks in the akhirah. Oh my Kareem Allah, fill their qabars with door. Oh my Kareem Allah, they cried for us. Ya Allah, they stayed the whole night awake for us. Ya Kareem Allah, you bless them with the best of reward. Ya Allah, wa Hazrat Ahmadullah Ali, fill his qabar with noor. Oh my Kareem Allah, whatever good has been done, Ya Allah, let it be a sadaqah jariyah for him. Oh my Kareem Allah, bless him with the best of rewards. Oh my Kareem Allah, wa Hazrat Wala Rahmadullah Ali, Ya Allah, fill his qabar with noor. Grant him the highest of ranks in the akhirah. Oh my Kareem Allah, through your infinite grace and mercy, bless us with all that good that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has begged of you. And grant us protection from all the evil that Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has asked for protection from. Ya Allah, protect us from the right, from the left, from in front and from behind, from above and from beneath. Ya Kareem Allah, give us cleanse and purified hearts. Ya Allah, cleanse and purify our hearts. Ya Allah, hawao hirs wala dil badal de. Hamara ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de. Badal de dil ki dunya, dil badal de. Khuda ya fadl farma dil badal de. Ya Kareem Allah, we are dirty, we are filthy. Ya Allah, hum gunahgar hai, khata kar hai, badkar hai, siyah kar hai. Sab kuch hai bande magar tere hai. Tujhe chhod kar ke hum gande jaye kahan. Ya Kareem Allah, hamari maghfirat farma de. Ya Allah, hamari maghfirat farma de. Ya Allah, if a dog is chased away from one butcher, it goes to the next. Oh my Kareem Allah, beggar is chased, turned away from one door, he goes to the next. Oh my Kareem Allah, agar tu ne darwaze band kar diye, to phir hum gande jaye kahan. Oh my Kareem Allah, we are at your door begging, let us in. Oh my Kareem Allah, open the floodgates of your mercy. Open the floodgates of your maghfirat.
O my Kareem Allah, I accept each and every one that is seated here. O my Kareem Allah, no other reason brings them here but your Muhammad and the Muhammad of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fill our hearts with your ishq and Muhammad, O my Kareem Allah. Make us amongst your ushaq, my Kareem Allah. Give us cleansed and purified hearts, my Kareem Allah. Give us those hearts that you give the awliya as siddiqeen. Make us that fish that swims deep down your ocean of marifat. O my Kareem Allah, we acknowledge our weakness before you. Ilahi, tujhe to maloom hai, ilahi, bohut hi ganda hai haal mera. Ilahi, tujhe to maloom hai, bohut hi ganda hai haal mera. Guna mein aaluda ho raha hai, rua rua baal baal mera. O my Kareem Allah, we are immersed in sins. Ya Kareem Allah, for us there is no one else besides you. Ya Allah, you take us up out of this filth, my Kareem Allah. Give us clean and purified hearts, oh my Kareem Allah. Through infinite grace and mercy, grant us the best in this world and the best in the Akhirah. Ya Kareem Allah, agarche pur khata hai, par kaha jaye tera banda. Agarche pur khata hai, par kaha jaye tera banda. Tere dar par tera banda, ba ummeede karam aaya. O my Kareem Allah, so many hands raised before you this part of the night. O my Kareem Allah, there's so many other places they could have been. But they are here raising their hands before you. Raising their begging bowls before you. Ya Kareem Allah, these begging bowls you have attached to our bodies. So that they may be raised any time of the night or day before you. O my Kareem Allah, we are not calling out to an idol that does not hear. O my Kareem Allah, we are not calling out to an idol that does not see. You are hearing, you are observing us, my Kareem Allah. You know the remorse and regret that we have in our hearts over our past sins. Ya Kareem Allah, forgive our sins. Forgive our major and minor sins. Forgive those sins that we have committed during the brightness of the day. And forgive those sins that we have committed during the darkness of the night. O my Kareem Allah, when we are committing sins in the darkness, we thought everyone to have sighed and we thought you to be blind, my Kareem Allah. Ya Kareem Allah, forgive this major crime of ours. We use your given eyes to see haram. We use your given ears to hear haram. We use your given hands to touch haram. We use your given feet to walk towards haram. We use your given mind and heart to plan haram, to fantasize about haram. Ya Kareem Allah, to maaf kar de. We are ashamed of the sins that we have committed. We are not justifying any sin that we have committed. Oh my Kareem Allah, hum sharminda hai. We are ashamed, oh my Kareem Allah. Ab tu maaf kar de. Oh my Kareem Allah, that part of our lives that is gone, is gone. Ya Kareem Allah, that part of our life that is still left, give us the tawfiq to engage in those actions that are pleasing to you and pleasing to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, mari mukammal islah farmade. Ya Allah, make our complete and total islah. Oh my Kareem Allah, grant us clean and purified hearts. Ya Allah, cleanse our heart of hatred, of jealousy. Ya Allah, of love for the wealth of this world. Oh my Kareem Allah, of pride and arrogance. Ya Allah, you fill our hearts with ikhlas. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat. Fill our hearts with your marifat. Fill our hearts with muhabbat and ishq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my Kareem Allah, give us appreciation of the sacrifices of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my Kareem Allah, give muhabbat between husbands and wives. Unite the hearts of husbands and wives. Oh my Kareem Allah, remove the difficulties. Remove the differences, my Kareem Allah. Make us obedient servants of yours. Oh my Kareem Allah, unite the hearts of parents and children. Create in the hearts of parents muhabbat and shafqat for the children. Create in the hearts of the children muhabbat and respect for the parents, oh my Kareem Allah. Through your infinite grace and mercy, grant understanding to children. To respect their parents, O my Kareem Allah. To treat them in a way that is befitting to parents. O my Kareem Allah. Three children are becoming abusive to their parents. O my Kareem Allah. Caring for their parents is becoming a burden. O my Kareem Allah. Through infinite grace and mercy, change the condition of the ummah. Change the plight of the ummah, my Kareem Allah. Grant us muhabbat and respect for each other. Unite the hearts of the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O my Kareem Allah. Unite the hearts of the ulama of the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, hame ek aur nek bana de. Hame ek aur nek bana de. Hame ek unde ek bana de. Oh my Kareem Allah, we ask you of all that good that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam begged of you all his life. Oh my Kareem Allah, especially on the occasion of Hajjatul Wada, with 124,000 shining stars of his. Oh my Kareem Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ne Hajar-e Aswad ko choom karke jo tujhe se maanga. یا قریب اللہ مطاف میں چل کر کے جو تجھ سے مانگا رکنے یمانی کو چھو کر کے جو تجھ سے مانگا او اے قریب اللہ دن معصوم نبی he attached himself to the ملتظم یا اللہ ملتظم سے چمٹ کر کے جو تجھ سے مانگا یا اللہ حتیم میں نمازیں پڑھ کر کے جو تجھ سے مانگا یا اللہ زمزم پی کر کے جو تجھ سے مانگا مقام ابراہیم پر جو تجھ سے مانگا او مائی قریب اللہ صفا اور مروہ کی پہاڑیوں پر جو تجھ سے مانگا یا اللہ مینا اور مزدلفہ میں جو تجھ سے مانگا اینڈ اسپیشلی ان عرفات فرام ظہر تل مغرب that Masoom Nabi raising his hands and making dua. Oh my Kareem Allah, not forgetting his ummah. Oh my Kareem Allah, all that good that he asked and begged of you. Ya Allah, bless us with that goodness. Bless our families with that goodness, our parents. Ya Allah, our near and dear ones. Those that have requested us to make duas for them. Those that have made ihsan on us and on the entire ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, bless everyone with that goodness. And everything Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for protection from. Ya Allah, protect us, protect our families, protect our progenies to come up to the time of Qiyamah, O my Kareem Allah. Protect our progenies to come up to the time of Qiyamah. Protect our progenies to come up to the time of Qiyamah. Ya Allah, from all that evil that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has asked protection from. Ya Allah, protect the entire ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from all those things that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has asked protection from. Ya Kareem Allah, bless us with the best in this world. Bless in the Akhirah. Oh my Kareem Allah, when the time of both comes, Ya Allah, take us away to Madinah Tayyibah. Ya Allah, let Malakul Maut not strike when we are engaged in any type of your displeasure or any type of sin, my Kareem Allah. At the time of Maut, Ya Allah, take us away to Madinah Tayyibah. Why is reciting As-salatu was-salamu alayka Ya Rasulallah? As-salatu was-salamu alayka Ya Habib Allah? As-salatu was-salamu عليك يا خير خلق الله let our ruh be extracted oh my Kareem Allah let our resting place be جنت الفقيم oh my Kareem Allah اگر یہ مقدر نہیں then wherever it is going to be oh my Kareem Allah bless us with a mubarak and a pleasant mode Ya Allah bless us with a mubarak and pleasant mode don't test us at the time of mode Ya Allah keep us steadfast on iman grant us a mode on iman Ya Allah grant us a mubarak and pleasant mode on iman Ya Allah, resurrect us on the day of Qiyamah with Iman. Oh my Kareem Allah, grant us our book of records in the right hand. Oh my Kareem Allah, you make the sawalat and the questions of Munkar and Nakir easy for us. Ya Allah, through infinite grace and mercy. Ya Allah, bless us with the water of Kawthar from the Mubarak hands of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let the crossing of Pul Sirat become easy for us. Ya Allah, grant us entry to Jannah with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my Kareem Allah, whatever we have asked you for, bless us with that. And whatever we couldn't ask you for, and Ya Allah, what we haven't asked you for, bless us with that good as well. Oh my Kareem Allah, protect us, protect our progenies up to the time of Qiyamah. Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Bi rahmatika ya rabbal alameen.